Help support our coverage with a free account on Privacy, the service that keeps your bank information private when shopping online. Take control of your subscriptions and other recurring payments, plus pause and close privacy cards at any time. And get $5 right now to try the service at collision.live/privacy.
Our next guest is here. Hello.
Hello.
Can you please introduce yourself for us?
Sure. My name is Eric Kriske. I'm CEO, co-founder of Bidali, which is a crypto payments platform. So we're, think of it like Stripe or PayPal for crypto. So we're making it so that people can easily use these kind of next generation payment rails that are a lot more efficient for transferring value all around the world. So I guess if I were to explain it to my grandma, it's like we try and make it as easy to send money to somebody in the same room as it is to send across the entire planet for cents, and as easy as sending a text or an email. So, yeah.
Okay. That's a, that's a pretty concise description. Is this designed for me to send you money, or is it designed for these guys exhibiting back here to implement into their system, or is it both?
Well, a little bit of both. So as an individual, you could accept payments for anything. So I think one of the benefits of, you know, there's been a lot of negative stigma around crypto. And there, you know, for good reason, I think. I've been in the space for a while, and so we've seen a lot of the hype cycles and stuff come through, and I think the space is still pretty early, but for really sure. What blockchains and cryptocurrency are good for is efficient value transfer. And, you know, if you look at that from a monetary perspective, it's a lot more efficient than what we're used to. So as a person, like, I can send you money point to point, peer to peer, no middleman, which is awesome. And so we built tools to kind of help enable that. But a lot of our stuff is more business focused to allow businesses to accept it. And the real benefit, I would say to people, well, our major benefit is to people who maybe are living in countries where, like Venezuela, Argentina, and like a bunch of other places where they don't have the same financial infrastructure that we've got.
Or a country like Belarus that had to cut 6 zeros off the end of their currency 15 years ago, where
I mean,
you never know what the currency is going to be worth.
Yeah, totally. And that's the problem right now. I mean, one of our guys is actually in Argentina. That's how we got into this, is working with people all around the world and realizing how hard it was to pay people, good people for good work. While at the same time, we have globalization happening and there's a demand for talent. And one of the things is that they're cut off from the rest of the world because of the finances, which seems silly in this day and age.
Right.
So,
especially when you come from a country like Canada, the United States, where the financial infrastructure is so in place.
Yeah.
And then to try and interact with a country other than can be incredibly complicated. But even just dealing U.S. to Canada can be complicated, because everything, any U.S. debit card gets run as credit in Canada, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you know, even myself, before kind of maybe going down the proverbial rabbit hole around all this stuff, is that you don't really realize how a lot of the financial systems work and how we've kind of, you know, humans are inventive, so we managed to kind of use the equivalent of shoestring and duct tape to glue a bunch of these systems together over time. And really, some of the financial systems are running on, you know, decades-old technology, so it's not like, you know... I think a lot of, one of the big kind of common misconceptions with blockchain and crypto that people have kind of said is like, oh, you know, Bitcoin's too slow, or it's not fast enough, or it's too expensive. But I think it depends on the context, because if you look at it from a credit card perspective, it doesn't look great. But if you actually look at like how, if people start to understand how settlements are cleared behind the scenes, it's like, depending on where you are in the world, a credit card payment might not reach the merchant for a day to 30 days, right? And the only reason why you see that instant transaction is because it's a user experience kind of issue and also a liquidity issue. So because you have the liquidity to be able to move money around, you can do some of that stuff. Whereas now, you know, if we compare Bitcoin, for example, a Bitcoin payment, I could send any amount of money to somebody in Australia, cost me a couple bucks, takes a couple hours, and I actually get to see and verify that the person received that payment. With a wire transfer, it costs, you know, $15 to $50 on either end. I don't get to see it. It could take anywhere from 2 to 5 business days.
Right.
So when you, I think it, the context actually really matters.
Yeah. Because it all depends on what you're trying to do, right? Yeah. Sure. Going online and buying something with your credit card seems like an
right now.
Seems like an instant transaction, but like you said, it's not. It might be for you.
Yeah.
It's not on the other side, but trying to send money from person to person, even across the country,
not always easy.
Is questionable at best.
Yeah. And I think we're getting better. I mean, you have to remember too, like a lot of the, it's still early stages in the blockchain space.
Yeah.
It's moving incredibly fast, like faster than people realize, I think, or don't. Yeah. They're just not aware.
Yeah.
I mean, we are, because we're at the very low level with a lot of our stuff. We support over 55 different cryptocurrencies. People can get paid out in cryptocurrency directly, or a stable coin, which is effectively like a digital crypto dollar, but mm-hmm. it's backed by actual money,
mm-hmm.
and then can get paid out in Canadian dollars or US or euros or whatever. And we're price competitive. So I mean, we charge 2.5% for like the fiat payouts essentially, and then 1.25 for stable coin and 0.75 for crypto. So it's definitely a step, I think, in the right direction. And we're pushing a lot of our stuff more, like I said, the benefits are people in where they don't have the financial security that we enjoy. But I think the other side, merchants for us here, if you're selling internationally, the nice thing is now you can sell anywhere you can ship risk-free without the risk of chargebacks from credit cards, because that can be really painful depending on if you're shipping overseas, especially for credit card fraud.
And surprisingly common.
Yeah, very common. Especially depending on the industry. Like, it can be as high as like 10 or 15% of mm-hmm. all sales, which is crazy. Because the merchant has to eat that most of the time.
Yep.
And then the other side of it, though, too, is there's a lot of people in countries that can't get credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, like, as clunky as it is, this is enabling e-commerce for people.
Who have never had that
capability.
Who've
never had that, yeah.
Yeah. That's.
And I think we're only going to get better.
Really cool. As the industry matures, because like you said, we're still pretty infant in the crypto and blockchain space. As that matures, this kind of thing can only get better.
Yeah, and I would say like even the last couple of years, we've really started to see a lot more maturity around regulation, around financial institutions. Like, we're working with a really good financial institution here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a challenge for a lot of people in this space as well, as getting good banking relationships. And so we've been able to do that. But I think things are maturing. Regulatory stuff is coming along. The protocol developments are coming along. Things are faster. I mean, there's other stuff mm-hmm. that's now faster than Bitcoin for payments, where they can actually handle transactions at scale. And I think the next year or so, we'll really start to see some of that come to fruition.
Yeah, so. And we've seen a whole lot less. I'm going to put a cryptocurrency into my app because I am.
Yeah, I think we're still seeing a little bit of that, unfortunately.
But it's not like it was.
It wasn't like last year,
a year
or
2 years ago.
I
remember last year going through the Collision app, looking at the pitches, and you'd see like a pretty normal pitch, and then at the end, almost as if
they had to put
it in there for SEO. They just like blockchain and crypto. I'm like,
yeah,
but it doesn't make sense. There's no way that's what you're doing.
Yeah, and you know, for us, like, we've been a traditional tech company, so we didn't, you know, we saw the ICO craze that happened, like, you know, realized that there wasn't a legal way necessarily to raise funds. I mean, there's interesting stuff that came out of the ICO craze that I think is positive, but in terms of like the two things that really stood out from that were, you know, that people around the world want deal flow and want to be able to invest in promising projects mm-hmm. that don't normally get to because they're not accredited investors.
I say without having to be accredited.
Yeah, so I think that, I mean, there needs to be some better protection there because it was just insanity. But
it
I think
was.
The other side is given these new, more open money protocols, how efficient they can be and like how efficient you can raise capital
mm-hmm.
globally, which was mind blowing. I mean, like, there's companies raising, you know, $100 million in like days, which is, you know, should they have been raising that much at that time? No, but at the same time, the efficiency of it is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So I think over the next little bit, we'll see things really start to mature in that realm too.
Yeah. Because you'll stop seeing these weird blow ups where it hurts the industry. Like,
yeah.
And it damages the name of the industry.
And it's already cooled quite a bit. Like, I think we're starting to see a lot more, you know, hopefully more real projects. And the sad state of it is, like, most of that money is going to go to zero because most startups fail. Like, yep. 90% is the statistic. And, yep. like, technically, these are all startups. So, mm-hmm. you know, sadly. But I think the other nice benefit that came out of it is there's some really cool science experiments, sort of, at this point. But, like, really cool things that
scientists.
But they wouldn't have gotten funded without some of that greed and mania. So I think, you know, there might be a phoenix from the ashes sort of scenario here where we see some really cool stuff that impact how humanity does things 5, 10, 15 years from now.
The Amazons and eBays that rise out of the dot-com bubble crash.
Yeah, and so we've been taking that approach, too, like trying to, you know, stay lean, build quality stuff that's solving real problems for people. And really focus on, like, solving problems, not just, like, trying to do crypto for the sake of crypto.
Right.
And I think we come at it from a different perspective because we've been dealing with people all over the world and trying to solve some of our own pain points, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that tends to be where a lot of good products come from, right, is when you're trying to solve your own pain point. Something sucks for you, and so you go to try and fix it.
Yeah,
because you can't be the only one experiencing it.
Yeah, I firmly believe that. And that's even from our perspective, the way we've been looking at it. We're super fortunate. I mean, the last year or two has been a real eye-opener around just how lucky we are. Yeah. You know, I've seen people go through, you know, people in Venezuela go through that crushing inflation.
Yep.
We're seeing the same thing in Argentina. Like, they had 45% inflation last year. You know, and there's ripple effects that come from that. It's not just, you know, a 50% inflation rate and your, you know, $10,000 that you made is now worth five. There's all of the other stuff because a lot of businesses are trying to hedge their risk against that. So they jack up prices and so it compounds. It's not just.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just a straight 50-50.
And so you end up with the Belarus situation where people go with a wheelbarrow full of cash to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy. And it's very sad because unfortunately, like, you know, this is sort of the way our system works. And I'm not an anarchist or like I'm definitely more of a maybe libertarian on that front. But I would say, like, there do need to be some structures in place. But I think our democratic cycles and the way that capital is managed at a federal level are kind of misaligned. Like, the incentives are misaligned.
Yes.
Because every 4 years, you know, people just want to spend to try and get reelected. And the problem is now you have people deciding to spend. And they're typically not the ones that end up paying the price, like the real price. It's just, you know, the poor or middle class that end up paying the price. And those people, you know, just get punished from the choices of, you know, a handful of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a really sad scenario. So I'm hoping that some of what comes out of this kind of crypto craze and a different thinking around how to have custody of capital, but also how to vote on things and how to do economic planning shifts a little bit so that we're, you know, maybe correct a bit more to something that's more sustainable.
Sure.
Yeah.
That all makes sense to me. I like all of that.
Cool. Yeah.
So as a beta, what are you hoping to get at Collision this week?
Yeah, I think we're looking to network, obviously, with potential customers. Anybody in the crypto space, you know, holler at me. At eKriski on Twitter.
All right.
Or at Bedali HQ. I think the other side is we're meeting with investors right now. We're also meeting with a lot of people, like dignitaries from other jurisdictions where this could actually make an impact.
Yeah.
So meeting with people in Latin America and Asia and Africa. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, if people want to find out more about your platform, how can they do so?
www.bedali.com, BIDALI. Pretty easy. Or again, on Twitter, at Bedali HQ.
Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming and talking to us. It was a great conversation.
Awesome.
Have a good rest of your conference.